Well, it is good to be back. I missed what, three of the last four Sundays, I think it was. I was actually out of town for most of the 4 weeks. When I preached on July 30th, I literally got in Saturday night, preached Sunday, led worship, and then we were out of town again on Monday for a week of study leave and then a couple weeks of vacation. And I'm really grateful for that time off, and very restful and invigorating for my family, and I'm really excited about the sermon planning I did for that week of study leave for the next year. We're going to be going through some books of the Bible that aren't visited very often in the New Testament. We did a bunch in the Old Testament about 3 years ago, and this time we're going to do a bunch in the New Testament as well that are oftentimes forgotten, and then some other stuff that's a little more familiar to us probably, but I'm excited what God's going to do in this next year in our lives and what he's going to say to us through those passages and through the messages that then come out of those. So today we continue our series on life is too short to, and then fill in the blank with a little phrase, and today is too short to play it safe. I always enjoy hearing, reading about stories of people who the world regards as accomplishing great things or having, you know, done something where they really, you know, stepped out and been successful or whatever. And the reason I enjoy reading about those or watching video clips on them or whatever is because they oftentimes have significant challenges to overcome to get there. When, you know, the people that we know who are quote-unquote successful, we know them usually by the time they get there. And you forget that they didn't start there. They began somewhere else. And oftentimes it's in challenging situations and circumstances. Michael Jordan's a very famous one, cut from his high school basketball team. I think it was as a freshman, if I remember right, or maybe a sophomore, and then obviously went on to be the greatest of all time. Thomas Edison, this is one that maybe you're not familiar with. When he was young, he was told that he was too stupid to accomplish anything. Probably he had ADHD. Biographies about him say that apparently he had a hard time sitting still and kind of fidgety and all that kind of stuff and just couldn't stay focused. So probably his ADHD wasn't diagnosed then, or ADD or whatever. In reflection upon all of his accomplishments and all he did, Edison said that what got him there was 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration is essentially how he put it. So a lot of hard work, in other words. And stories like that make me realize that, you know, if they can achieve what they did and overcome the obstacles they had to overcome, then God can use me in significant ways as well. I believe God can use you in significant ways too. But it's not just hard work that gets a lot of people up and moving to their place of greatness and success and so forth. What makes them great, when you look at folks, you know, like Jordan and Thomas Edison and so many others, what makes them great is that they realize that life is too short to play it safe. The hard work is driven by a vision of how things could be different and better than they currently are. Like, the current situation and circumstances might be comfortable, but you know what? It's not what the future is for me. And then they've got this vision to step out and do things, to put in that hard work, to bring things where they could be. I didn't get comfortable with who people said they were, that you're stupid, you're not good enough. They didn't let those override their lives or their circumstances. Maybe people come out of poverty situations and so forth. Look at this photo. This is a photo of me here. This is from late-ish July on vacation before the study leave. Is that a picture of someone ready to step out and take some risks for God or what? Right? Is this someone who wants to change his circumstances or situation and make life better for himself or for someone else? Heck no, I didn't want to leave. Like, that's great. It's awesome. And it's hard to tell in this photo, but that is actually literally an inflatable sloth that I am resting on. It's an inflatable sloth. It's just a great metaphor. Gwen bought this floaty. I didn't even know we had it. She bought it just a few days before we went on vacation. I got to the lake. There's a family cabin that's been in my family for 50 years. And I got to the lake before Gwen did. We had to go in stages, and she came like 2 or 3 days later. And I took this out of the car, and I was like, what is this, an inflatable sloth? Like, where did this come from? Gwen had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. Now, nothing in this photo says, you know, risk, right? I mean, it is all comfort and safety and status quo. Like, let's just maintain this. Don't want the sun to go away. Don't want any waves or the wind to pick up. It's a calm day. Like, this is awesome. Just leave it the way it is. And much the same in life, in our journey of faith, in our life together as a church as well, when we get comfortable, when we play it safe, nothing happens. I mean, there's literally nothing happening. Just floating. Okay? When we get comfortable, nothing happens. And nothing happening is dangerous to our faith and faithfulness to God. It's the opposite, in fact, of how God operates. God rarely moves in powerful ways in our lives when we're on a sloth floaty. God might inspire there. He might give us a vision for the future that could be. He might give us an idea for a sermon illustration while we're floating out there. And we need the quiet times, we need downtimes, we need vacations, we need devotions and scripture readings and prayer time, all that kind of stuff. But we need to get off the sloth floaty eventually and step out in faith and trust, getting out of our comfort zones. Scripture might give us, or scripture does give us, a number of people who realize that playing it safe and hanging out on the on a floaty in the seas of life wasn't what God was calling them to do. So they stepped out in faith and took risks for God. We might think of Moses, Rahab, Daniel, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Literally Peter, Paul, and Mary, not the group Peter, Paul, and Mary, but literally Peter, Paul, and Mary from Scripture, right? Sometimes the risks are quite large to the point of foolishness in the eyes of the world, like, oh my goodness, you're crazy. Sometimes it was smaller. But whether large or small, they trusted God and his faithfulness and got off of the sloth float. And we're looking at one of those people today in Joshua. We're going to read, I think it's the entire chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, as we continue in our series today. This is God's word to you and me this morning. And Quentin, I watched a couple of the services online. Is this going to work okay for us today? I know we've had some challenges. Okay, we'll find out. This is God's word to you and me this morning. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River, not sit on a floaty on the Jordan River, cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So gracious God, today speak to us out of this passage and this message. Help us to live lives of faith that are strong and courageous for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Joshua recognized the need to step out and trust God as he gives this little speech. God speaks to him, he speaks to the people, they have a word back to him, but in the midst of there is his word to them. He's like, okay, we're going to do this. He's got to step out and trust God. He realized by the prompting of God that getting comfortable and doing nothing was dangerous. Now, just a little background for those, in case, just to make sure we're all on the same page here. Joshua followed in the footsteps of Moses, right? Moses was referenced several times here. Moses was arguably the greatest leader that Israel ever had. Yeah, others you could put in the conversation, but Moses is certainly one to be considered. So Joshua had some pretty darn big shoes to fill. These are big shoes. He was second in command to Moses for the 40 years that Israel wandered around in the desert. So for 40 years, Joshua was groomed and trained, equipped, mentored to take over as the leader. And then he did, and he continued what Moses had started. And God wastes no time in prompting Joshua to move things forward. God says to him, we just read this, or here's what we read. Moses, my servant is, God says to him, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So there's no resting on their laurels and getting comfortable with where they are on their sloth floaties. God has made a promise to them and he's going to keep it, but it means getting up and moving forward for them. They got to move forward. But this doesn't seem to be a very natural thing for Joshua, because three times God tells them to be strong and courageous. And then the people exhort him a fourth time to do the same as well, to be strong and courageous. So God is giving Joshua a bit of a pep talk and a bit of a word of encouragement from the people that he's leading as well to do what God is asking him to do. It's like God is saying, hey, you can do this. I believe in you. It's going to take some, you're going to be stretched, you're going to be challenged, you're going to have to be strong in the midst of this, you're going to have to be courageous, but you can do this. And then God reminds him, because he's not doing this on his own. Joshua is not sent to do this on his own. He reminds him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Next slide. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And that's not a hollow promise. In the 40 years that Joshua spent as the aide to Moses, undoubtedly Moses shared with him the promises of God and God's fulfillment of them. I mean, some of them Joshua saw. There were things that Joshua saw in those 40 years. But back up even before that. Remember when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3? And if you're not familiar with this, we're not going to take the time to go into it all right now, but go back and read Exodus, the first few chapters. God wanted to send Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he speaks to Moses out of this bush that's burning, but it isn't burning up. And perhaps you remember how Moses responded. He said, yes, thank you, God, for calling me. This is exactly what I've always wanted to do. Some of you are shaking your head, right? Good, because that's not what he said. Moses gave excuse after excuse after excuse about why he was not the guy to do this. And God says to him after any one of them, I'll be with you. It's okay. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. God is the one who's going to sustain him and give him the strength and the courage, talking about Moses still, to do what he needs to do. And in the end, it's God who makes it happen, yes, through Moses, but God is the foundation of it all. And sure enough, God worked through Moses exactly as he said he would, up until people rebelled and the spies came back and some of them said, we don't want to do this, and they ran into issues. But Moses was pretty faithful, and God was completely faithful, and God fulfilled his promise to Moses, and he was with him every step of the way. And almost certainly, Moses shared all of that with Joshua. I mean, in that 40 years, Joshua would have seen a lot of it, probably firsthand, been there. But even the stuff before Joshua came in to come alongside him, Moses undoubtedly talked to him like, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe this bush. It was burning up, and it wasn't burning up. It was on fire, and God put me into the spot, and I doubted him, and I questioned, but God said he's going to be with me every step of the way, and he has. I can just imagine those kinds of conversations happening. So when God tells Joshua, it's time for you to lead these people forward, I will be with you, Joshua does it. He's like, wait, I've heard this before, that God's going to be with a leader. He did it with Moses, and now I'm getting that same message. And so Joshua does this. He doesn't try to play it safe. He doesn't put up excuse after excuse. He learned from Moses. It doesn't work. He doesn't say, hey, but we like wandering around in the desert. We want to keep it that way. Actually, we'd like to go on a river float trip on our sloth floaties down the Jordan River. Can we do that instead? No, he doesn't say that. He gets things going and they cross the river because he knows that he can trust God. Now, God gives them some requirements in order for them to be successful. There are three conditions that Joshua has to follow in order for success to happen. Obey God, study scripture, those two go hand in hand, by the way, and third, be strong and courageous. Here's what we read in verses 7 and 8. God tells them, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So when we read this and we see this word or phrase, the law, it's just another way to speak of God's word to us, God, scripture. Okay. God is telling him, know it, right? Meditate on it day and night. So know it and live by it. Don't turn from the right. Don't turn from the left from it. Follow it, straight and narrow path. And then to be strong and courageous. And when we do that, we obey God. When we meditate on it, when we know it and apply it to our lives, we obey God. Because God's instructions for life are in it, right? And it leads us down the right path. That's what God is telling him to do. And he tells him then to be strong and courageous. Have no fear, in other words, because I am with you. That's what God is telling him. So if Joshua does these things, then at the end we read that he will be prosperous and successful. And it's not narcissistic, selfish, materialistic prosperity and success. There is land involved here. There is some of that stuff. But God wants Joshua and the Israelites to trust him for more than that. God wants you and me to trust him for more than just selfish success and prosperity. God isn't in the business of selfish success. Scripture tells us that God is in the business of transforming us into his image, to be more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ specifically. And this should be of no surprise because we are made in the image of God. And God is just trying to get us back into that place because it's bent and broken because of sin. And so God is seeking to conform us to be more like him, to be more like Jesus is probably in some ways the easiest thing for us to grasp because he became human and we can identify with that. And so what is it then that God is about in a broader sense as he's seeking to work in our lives? Well, God is not in the business of selfish success. He is in the business of about his kingdom. about transforming lives, about drawing us into deeper relationship with him. God is in the business of serving others. Jesus says he came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. God is in the business of meeting the needs of those who are hurt. God is in the business of comforting those who mourn. God is in the business of healing broken bodies and broken minds and spirits and relationships. God is in the business of delivering us, saving us from our sin. You put succinctly, Joshua's success and prosperity isn't primarily for his benefit or for the people that he's leading. It's for the glory of God and for his kingdom. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. And just the same, our prosperity, our success is not for us. It's for God and for his glory and for his kingdom and his purposes. And we too, like Joshua, are only successful and prosperous when what we do, one, is guided by his word, and we stay on that narrow path, and we do it with boldness and courage and strength. And do it in a way that brings, ultimately, so that God is glorified, that honor is brought to him. And we don't bring honor and glory to God, I would suggest to you anyway, that we don't bring honor and glory to God when we play it safe. Godly success and prosperity never comes through playing it safe. Joshua brought glory to God by leading his people forward, not resting where they were in their comfort zone. They had to cross the River Jordan. Now, everyone's sense of comfort zone and what's risky and what feels safe, like, there's some differences there. We went around the room and talked about what are our comfort zones in different situations. We'd all have different answers to that. There's a story about a monastery that once existed in Europe, high up on a cliff. And the only way to get to it was to be put into a basket that was then on a rope that was on like a little bit of a pulley system. And it took several monks to pull the rope to get this basket to go up to the top of this cliff where this monastery was. And occasionally, visitors could come be there and commune with them or, you know, be with them for a time and so forth. Well, a visitor was there and got exceedingly nervous one time about halfway up when the visitor noticed that the rope from which the basket was hanging was a little bit frayed and old and worn out looking. And so with a trembling voice, this person asked the monk who was riding with him in the basket, he said, "Hey, how often do you guys change the rope that we're dangling from here?" And the monk thought for a moment, and then rather brusquely, he answered, "Whenever it breaks." Well, it's a little unnerving, right? The man in the story, for his comfort zone, was not playing it very safe. He was being stretched right there. For the monk, apparently, it was no big deal. It's like, hey, we do this every day. This is what we do. We all have different levels of comfort and risk. And how we live out our faith, therefore, will look different as well. It's not going to look the same for any two people. But every biblical story of success, every story of prosperity for God, is a story of taking a risk of some kind, of getting a little uncomfortable, of getting up out of the sloth floaty of life. David battled Goliath. Daniel wouldn't pray the comfortable prayer on the king that he was supposed to, you know, to the king. Instead, prayed to God. Rahab hid the Jewish spies in her house. Jesus left his throne in heaven to become a human and then was crucified on a cross. In all of those, God was with them and vindicated them. David killed Goliath and went on to be king of Israel. Daniel was kept alive in the lion's den and brought forth praising God. Rahab was brought to safety with the Jews when they conquered Jericho. Jesus was resurrected on the third day. There are countless other biblical stories, and we use that word story, history, of people not playing it safe and instead taking risks for the glory of God, for the furthering of his kingdom, for the good news to be spread. Those are the stories of prosperity and success for God that inspire us to greater places of faith. And they're all about people who are strong and courageous and refuse to play it safe for God. They trusted him. No one was ever successful or prosperous for God in Scripture by sitting back comfortably in the sloth floaty of life. Perhaps especially Jesus didn't, right? He lived, he died, and rose from the grave so that the world would be changed for eternity. Do you suppose he felt like he was playing it safe when he left his throne in heaven to come to earth? Philippians chapter 2 or 3 tells us that he emptied himself to become human. How about when he hung on the cross and the sins of the humanity came upon him? In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was crucified, he prayed, "Father, take this cup from me." In other words, lead me down a different path, please. But not my will, but yours be done. It's a prayer of faith that God is with him in the midst of it. But like Joshua, his primary concern is to do the will of God, to do the will of his heavenly Father. And his father's will was to transform the world through this amazing love and forgiveness in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if the world is going to continue to be transformed by his love, then the people who love Jesus can't play it safe either. You and I bring glory to Jesus Christ when we decide that life is too short to play it safe, to stay in our comfort zones. Life is too short to stay on our sloth floaties. And instead, we desire to live for God with strength and courage in a way that is faithful to God's word, doesn't stray to the right or to the left, and faithful to who God is and trusting him to lead us and carry us every step of the way. No other entity on the face of the earth offers the hope of that the church has to offer, like you and me, right? That we have to offer because of what God has done in our lives. No other organization, certainly no government, no educational system, no nonprofit organization save for Christian ones, nothing on earth has the power to lead people towards Jesus so that they might proclaim him as Lord and Savior. The only organization that does that is the church, which is people like you and me who follow Jesus. That is the ultimate transformation that can take place, that someone would profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you and I are the ones charged with carrying that out and leading people in that direction. And this is what the vision of our church is all about. Our vision at Rose Hill is to lead people toward Jesus where we live, work, and play. It is a true to scripture vision that inspires us to get out of our comfort zones and live our faith out in all facets of our life, each and every day. Because let's be honest, living our faith on Sunday mornings is pretty comfortable. Even with one merged service together, maybe there's a little less comfort level now. You know, oh my goodness, there's drums in church and there weren't before. We sing a hymn and we didn't do that before. The organ plays or whatever. Right? So maybe there's a little less comfort level in some parts of it. But there are no risks here for confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's what counts. And many of us here have done that right here in this building for years, if not decades. And if it wasn't here for many of us, it was at another church, and God has brought you here because you moved to Kirkland or whatever. Right? So we're used to it. Sunday church fits like a glove. It is comfortable. And I have no problem talking about Jesus and my faith in church. I, meaning not just me as pastor, that's like the way that we tend to think. But sometimes we leave our faith at church. Or during the week, we keep it confined to an extension of church, like our personal Bible study. Like meditating on scripture day and night. Yes, do that. Great. Okay, we're in our Bible studies. It's just an extension of church. That's not the end. That's not what God is ultimately calling us to. That's like a means to get there because it's not strong and courageous just to stay in that place. Like the Israelites crossing the Jordan into the land that God promised them, the vision for our church is an invitation to be strong and courageous and not necessarily comfortable. And to put our faith on the line a little bit more, to live it out, to put our pride on the line a little bit, to live out our faith, to be a little bolder in our allegiance to Jesus. I'm not inviting, or the vision doesn't invite us to put ourselves in any baskets hanging by a thread. Okay, you don't need to do that. But we also don't want to be sitting on the sloth floaties of life either. Just as Joshua and the Israelites were faithful to God, just as Christians throughout the centuries have been faithful to God, including right here at Rose Hill Church for 100 plus years, people have stepped out in faith and trust to be strong traders for Jesus. Just the same, we are continuing that tradition of God's people and of Rose Hill to be faithful to God's calling. That's what we want to continue on. That's what we want to carry forth. And just like them, we're moving forward in that strength and that courage to do that, with the Lord right with us every step of the way. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. So that we will have success, that we will have success and have prosperity to bring honor and glory to him for his kingdom. So one final question that's already up on the screen, just before we wrap this up. Have you been, God's calling right now. He wants to get you up and get you going. Have you been a little too comfortable in your faith and in your life? Have you maybe been a little too comfortable in your faith and in your life? And it's a yes-no question, which isn't a very good question to ask, actually. But there's more that then comes after that, right? Is the floaty of life getting worn out from too much use? My prayer is that, and I would invite you to pray also, that God would open your eyes to new ways for you to serve God, to worship him, to experience his never leaving or forsaking presence with you in a way that stretches you and causes you to fully rely on God and to trust that he's with you. To proclaim that, to acknowledge your faith, to share that publicly in your relationships, whatever, in everyday conversations, work, at home, where you recreate and play, to give God credit and glory outside of Sunday mornings. Yes, meditate on God's word. Know it, speak it. Don't turn to the right or left from it. And then pray that God would make you strong and courageous to follow him, to live out what he is doing in your life and in our church, and to share that and take that into the world each day. Because when it comes to leading people toward Jesus, life is way too short to play it safe. Gracious and holy God, thank you for your constant presence with us. It's not just Moses and it's not just Joshua. It's others throughout Scripture, throughout the centuries, where you say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you. So, Lord, help us to accept that as truth for us as well, and to live it out, to step out on the waters, and to trust you as you lead us into deeper places, as you lead us into relationships that might be an opportunity to lead someone toward Jesus. As you bring us in places where we can be about the business of God, of healing and reconciliation and coming alongside people who are hurting and who are mourning and grieving. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet and to be strong and courageous as we do that. And ultimately, God, it's all for your glory. There's prosperity and success, yes, but it's for you. So God, lead us in that way even this week. That we might be strong and courageous for you and for your kingdom. We pray it all in Jesus' name, the foundation for our lives, so that we can live for you. We pray it all in his name. And all of God's children said together, Amen.